You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello everyone, Tyler speaking. There was a mix-up at the Folklore Factory, and we're all robots this week. Robots are bad at podcasts, so until we unrobot, please enjoy this collection of clips from previous episodes. Domo arigato.
A little old sleepy woman totters out of the door and stumbles over the roots of a great oak tree. She complains about this being the fourth time this month she stumbled over the tree, then wraps her skinny arms around the trunk and pulls the tree straight out of the ground.
No more of you, tree. Four strikes and you're out.
Mara May says, "Oh, grandmother, you should have let me pull it up." And the old lady says, "Well, I hope I don't hurt my back." And she calls for her daughter to throw the tree away, but make sure it doesn't hit anyone. So the mother went to the tree, picked it up in her hands, and threw it clumsily and with a little gasp like how women throw things.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Like what?
Like how...
But like if... What would that sound like?
Yeah, can you...
Being a woman.
There goes a tree.
Yep.
Woo!
The tree flew up and landed with a faint crash far up the mountainside.
Not the ocean.
No.
That would be the where I would throw it.
Into the ocean?
No people there.
She says, "Oh, I'm so..."
just mer people.
They need more trees. They need wood for their houses.
And that was the first mer Christmas.
That's how Christmas spread to the mer people.
Wahoo Dore.
It was the only thing holding them back. They knew about it.
No tree.
They knew about it. They had crude carvings that have been dropped overboard by sailors
who keep Christmas carvings on their ship.
They
at
had
all
observed
times.
Christmas rituals, and they went back to their mer houses and they said, "Just no tree, can't do it. We're not allowed." And then lo and behold,
we put our fish socks by the fish fireplace.
And one day a miracle. Wait, you're saying mer people have socks?
Well, there's like other traditions aside from the tree,
it's
stockings.
It's one big sock that fits.
No, but
the
you're saying mer people have socks.
I'm
for what?
For the stockings.
Fin. Like
yeah.
Just like
it's
big shaped. Like okay, fine. Yeah.
For Christmas stockings. They're just fish shaped.
What kind of mer person is Saint Nick? Is he an octopus?
What?
Like the sea witch?
Because he needs a lot of arms to get stuff done.
No, because he's fat.
I don't think that's the fattest marine creature. Although I was kind of thinking along those lines.
What's the fastest marine creature?
What if he's a grouper?
Why?
He's a mer grouper. Because they, I don't know, they look fat and round. Like a bowl full of jelly.
What if he's a whale? And all of his elves are the things that cling to his tummy.
the
little tiny things that cling his sides or whatever,
yeah,
and eat the plankton or something.
His barnacle buddies.
It's a good.
They're remoras.
It's a good take on Christmas. I would like to see some art depicting whale Santa in his barnacle workshop, getting ready for the underwater Christmas time.
I kind of want to see a picture of mermaid fin stockings hanging by a fireplace.
Why would they need them?
For presents.
It's this is solely a Christmas thing. Like they don't wear socks.
Well, maybe when they're visiting the Arctic Sea.
They need to warm their fins up.
Yeah. You don't want to get fin rot or frostbite.
Where are we on the timeline?
Like the fairy tale master timeline?
Is this Little Mermaid 2? Has she gone back to the sea?
Well, where's Little Mermaid 1 on the timeline?
That's what I mean. We know that that's on the timeline because it's Hans Christian Andersen.
Yeah, that's true. It is on the spectrum somewhere,
but
the timeline.
If this is Little Mermaid 2 where she has a daughter, they go back to the sea at some point, so they would spread word of human Christmas.
I think it's after. It must be after that. They have word of human Christmas. Ariel misses it.
So they've created facsimiles.
But she refuses to celebrate it without a proper tree.
Right. That's the whole crux. Obviously.
I think Japanese Little Mermaid would be cool, too.
It would be kind of cool.
Like the little samurai mermaid. That'd be a good... Seven Samurai Mermaids. That'd be a good movie.
You just want to make a thing in the water instead.
I want that movie, but underwater. That's what I'm saying. But with fishmen and women.
Can you build a career off of that?
Off of taking regular movies and putting them underwater?
Yeah. Like, can you just be a mer movie studio?
Well, I don't see why not.
I did get you that waterproof camera bag that one time.
What kind of viewership can you expect from mermaids? I think that's the key thing. Like, what kind of numbers do they pull down in the ratings?
Is that your demo? Or are you looking to get people who are into mermaids?
I thought, well, you might have more luck with the second one than trying to find a mermaid audience.
That's what I mean. Is this mermaid exploitation?
It feels wrong to do that.
Anyway,
so she throws a tree into a mountain and not the ocean.
Right, so there is no mermaid Christmas from this moment.
Oh yeah, I forgot. That's kind of a moot discussion.
We might as well at least ask the parish clerk if he'll teach our bull how to talk.
That I can get behind.
What?
You might as well ask.
Just ask? Yeah. I mean,
what does that harm?
It's free to ask.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then you know.
So they go to the clerk to ask, and this clerk is no fool. He looks around to make sure that no one else could overhear him, and he says, oh, I can.
And he says, you get the hell out.
I can 110% teach this bull how to talk, but you can never tell anyone about it. It has to be a secret, and the priest can't find out, or I'll get in trouble because it is forbidden for
executed
me.
Executed for witchcraft.
To teach a bull how to talk.
Because it is dark magic that we're about to do.
He shows them his Illuminati signet ring and says, I thought you would never ask.
And he says, the eye of the pyramid is upon you, and under this full moon, we will go a wizarding to your backyard and make you a cow son.
Also, in order to make this work, I'm going to need to buy some very expensive textbooks.
That he does not currently own?
Yes.
This guy's angling for a Barnes & Noble gift card.
So the peasants give the clerk 100 coins to purchase the books. They promise to keep the secret, and they brought the calf in that evening. In a week, the peasant husband goes in and checks on the progress. The clerk says, oh, I can't let you see him, because then he's going to get homesick, and I will be unable to teach him anymore. But I do need another 100 coins for a few more books.
How does this guy know that he can do it if he hasn't read these books?
I think you missed the swindling part of this.
I have a prediction.
Okay. This is early.
The bull has been slaughtered at this point.
Uh-huh.
And this man is going to human traffic them a son.
I was going to say, I bet he just did a clean swap for a
just
real
a
boy.
Switcheroo.
And he's just going to say, like, yeah, here he is. This is your cow son, but he's a boy now.
I Pinocchio'd him so good.
I taught him to speak so well that the rest of him took human form.
I just whittled him down from the cow. And here he is, your skin and blood boy.
So the peasant gives him more coins for more advanced textbooks and says he'll be back in a week. So when the week has passed, the peasant asks about the progress and whether or not Peter can say anything yet. And the clerk says, oh, he's getting along very well. He can say moo now. But I'm going to need more books because he can't learn well out of the ones he has now.
He is playing for more time. What?
Does he work for, like, who's that Texas textbook manufacturer?
Oh, the big one?
Yeah. Macmillan?
Scholastic? Kaplan?
Kaplan does the tests. I feel like it's Macmillan.
Well, whoever it is.
It's in their pockets.
Whoever it is.
This is last year's edition. I need the one with new words.
I need 6th edition. I know it's the same, and $150 more dollars in your local college bookstore. But don't worry, you can return it for $3 of store credit when I'm done.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is lightly used. We can't take this.
You're out of luck.
This was last year's edition of math.
Of cowboy math. I don't mean cowboy. I mean cow hyphen boy. like cow to boy math. It just so happens that that was already a word, and I didn't think about it before I said it.
Okay, so it gives him more money, and also gives him a cask of ale to give to Peter, because any cow who is studying this hard is definitely going to need some sweet
deserves
drinks.
Deserves to get you've blasted been, while you, we do it.
You've been running my boy ragged. Please blitz my son.
That
wouldn't that be a great thing for
the,
like
is the newest video game from John Madden, Blitz My Son 2017.
That would be delightful. Like your freshman year of college, you're pegging away
too many
for finals,
tests.
And your dad just like bursts in to your class and is like, "I need you to just blitz this up, blitz my son. He's
been
working hard."
To get him trashed for his final.
It's time for recess.
So the messengers go back to Methoic and say, "Hey, Bendigid Vran wants a better message from you." So Methoic asks for a council of his own.
This is like a more boring Aaron Sorkin show.
Yeah, it's a lot of walk and talk.
It's only walk and talk. There's no other shots.
There's nothing in between those scenes.
It's one take. It's a single shot. Everybody's walking and talking.
And so they bring up a minor detail from like way back earlier in the story when the King of Ireland and Bendigid Vran were like having feasts. They were having them outside because Bendigid Vran didn't like being in houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so the messengers point out that he's never been known to be in a house because no house can contain him because apparently he's the size of a mountain. So maybe we could make him a nice house.
Are these the people that made the iron house for Punch and Judy?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think houses is this council's normal solution to things.
Just get them a good house.
Seek out the property brothers.
This is like,
what should we do? What is our house-based solution?
Like the housing agency. Crap! I just blanked on the word for giving lots of money to a government to get
lobbyists.
This is a lobbyist. This is the group of lobbyists for the housing association.
Think of the jobs. So many jobs to build this house for this mountain man.
So they give this message to Bendigid Vran, who then has another council, and they decide to accept it. So the house is built, but it's like a Trojan horse house.
It's on wheels?
No, it's got a regular house, but on
it's the shape of a horse.
On each it's a regular house, but on each pillar inside the house, they've put brackets with leather bags in each bracket and an armed man in each bag.
For what purpose?
Murder.
To
maybe.
Murder the mountain man? In his own home?
I'm waiting to see what explanation there is for this.
Hey, so do you remember...
Is it the shape of him? It's probably not.
It's just a house.
It's perfectly the shape of his body.
Yeah, I like to imagine this is like a fully manned Iron Maiden for a giant person.
So that's not really a house. That's more of a...
an outfit.
Kind of a wooden power suit.
But full of tiny people that are going to stab you to death.
Full of small, angry men.
So do you remember Evnissun?
Nope.
No, sure
didn't
don't.
Come up with a name for that one.
Sure don't.
Evnissun is the shitty brother who flayed all the horses. I had to also look back at it by this point.
His name is Tronk now.
What happened to those horses? That's what I want to know.
They went to a happy farm.
Full of lipless horses.
Yes. Run by a very big-hearted charity organization.
Maybe they got like some kind of rubber, like the things that go on windshield wipers, just wrapped around their mouths to compensate, to help them eat and do stuff.
What's the best part of the horse to get the glue from?
Hooves.
So they still got those.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where does how
I was just hoping it wasn't the lips and ears.
Is it really bones? Why does it? We don't have to look at it. Let's just speculate.
We don't need science. This is a fairy tale podcast.
We keep taking breaks to look up real information. If it's bones, surely they could get that from other animals. It has
collagen
to be
collagen taken
else.
From animal parts, particularly horse hooves and bones.
Why does it have to be the bones? Why does it have to be horses?
I mean, that's they also where the, gelatin comes from.
They got the stickiest bones? Marrow. Yeah.
Why can't we use anybody else's bones then?
We can.
Then why don't we?
I don't know. Horses were a ready source for... I don't think we use horses for glue anymore.
Do we not? Where do we get our glue? Who's making America's glue? If not American horses. Is it China?
That's probably just awful from, the cow farms and things.
It's space sticky.
Sounds good.
Elmer's makes it from synthesized chemicals.
It's lazy.
So petroleum, natural gas, other raw materials. No animals or animal parts. So Elmer's glue is vegan?
Cool. Good to know. Now I can eat it.
Finally.
I'm not vegan nor
without
do I
fear.
Eat glue. No part of that holds up.
Okay, so Shitty Brother is... he comes in before the rest of his people do, and he sees the bags. So apparently they're
not great.
Not sneaky pull bags.
Are they kicking around and writhing to breathe?
They are leather.
Are they sealed bags?
They are
with
leather
men inside.
And these men are armored, so I imagine that's
swords
deeply uncomfortable.
Out.
Right. So he sees the bags. He's like, "What the hell's in these?" And the Irishmen who are in the house, they say it's meal. And so Evnissian's response to this is to feel around the bag, which I guess immediately alerts him to what's going on.
Just give a meal feel.
So he feels until he gets to the man's head in the bag, and then he squeezes his hand until he could feel his fingers meet together in the brain between the bone.
Tronk is very strong.
Yes, he is.
Very strong man.
He does this for each of the 200 bags. But one. This last head was armed.
Hold on. Yeah. Again? He does this again.
He does this 199 times.
No, that's what I mean. This is the guy that did the horse thing.
Yeah.
No. Why does nobody stop him in the middle of these process?
Well, the thing is, he's going to each bag and he's asking what's in it. And the Irishmen are saying meal each time.
And crying profusely
as
their
countrymen are getting squished
in the brain.
He's very confident.
I imagine a sing-songy voice every time he walks up to a bag. What's in this? Squish. What's in this?
He is a pretty terrifying villain. He's very low-key.
Yeah, but stoppable.
He's like Loki, like, the Norse god of legend, except very, very haltable.
If anyone tried at all.
One stab wound, and he's probably done.
Not even a stab wound, just a word. Stop.
Why?
What are you doing?
Why? Her master's son is at the dance, and he sees how hot she is and falls in love with her instantly and will only dance with her.
What kind of moves does she kick?
She does that.
Charleston?
The jitterbug?
The sprinkler.
That's it?
She's got the sprinkler.
She got the sprinkler.
Can she do that's real
like,
hot shit
like,
back then?
Like the grocery store.
Can she do the bus driver?
Probably.
That's a good one.
The lawnmower?
They say that how you dance is how you're going to do, you know, post
sex.
Post dancing, if you're
downstairs kissing?
Yeah, wet, downstairs kissing.
Wet dancing?
Wet. How you're going to do wet dancing?
Moisture jigs.
And I think the bus driver shows a lot of possibilities. Because that's a very sexualized profession, isn't it?
Yep. That's like maybe the most.
You've seen my calendar.
All those sexy bus driver Halloween costumes that come out.
That's like the stereotype, right?
Yeah. 140%.
It's like you said, like grocery store clerks. What are they called? Grocers?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like that. That's another very sexualized profession. Kind of like it's getting a little absurd, I think.
Yeah, like, please, everyone, stop objectifying your grocers. They're just trying to check out your melons.
They're not pieces of meat. They're selling them to you.
They're selling and checking out your meat, but not like that. Not in the way that you might like them to. And the uniforms are revealing. I'll admit that. But it's just an apron, I think.
Just an apron.
It's just an apron, but it, whatever. Keep going.
Okay, so before the dance is done, she slips out and she goes back home to put on her rushes and pretends that she was asleep the whole time. The next morning, the other maids come and tell her all about the fine lady that their master's son was dancing with. So they have another dance the next evening and all the same stuff happens. And then the third dance, most of the same stuff happens. The master's son is still super in love with her, but she wouldn't give him her name. Not that it matters, because she hasn't given them her name.
Yeah, she could and still maintain cover.
I think this is just a reason for the story not to have to name this friggin' character. So he gives her a ring and informs her that if he doesn't see her again, he will die. So
good melodrama. Yeah, stakes. We haven't had one of these in a while.
So she slips away before the dances end, puts on her rushes, and goes to sleep. So the master's son tried everything to find this girl, and there's no trace of her, so he gets worse and worse for love until he's bedridden. Have you guys... Like,
it's a good way to get someone to fall in love with you is to make yourself a hostage to them.
Like, make yourself super sick.
It's a good ploy, and it makes you look very attractive.
There's nothing like the pallor of a sickly, bedridden person who's like, I am so in love with you.
I bet that could be a fashion movement, though.
I mean, it's basically, like, that's the foundation of a new Twilight series.
That's what heroin chic was, basically, right?
Yeah.
Is it just called chic?
Chic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodbye. Goodbye, Tyler. We're going to have 1 minute where Tyler's not allowed to talk for that.
Good. After a few weeks, the woman sends for her and says, your year of service is now up and you're free to return home. But you did so well, I really kind of want you to stick around. And the maiden says, no, she's been really happy here, but she's left behind a shitty stepsister and a shitty mother, and she would like to be with them again.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like a move up. Why did she enter service in the first place?
I don't know, because.
But only a year of it.
Yeah.
So it's like an underground internship.
Essentially, yeah. It was a residency program.
For cow stuff.
In a well.
That is not a great resume builder, I'm going to say.
Cow stuff?
No, if you say, I had an underground residency for a year in a well. Hire, please.
It does look, yeah. It does just look like you got lost. Or that you're a very good spin artist.
Sure.
Yeah, hype man.
That would be a great way to pad up your resume. It'd be like if you go on a trip somewhere, or you just say, you give your house a name and make it an official name, like register it somewhere, and then just say, yeah, I was at a residency program at the Burroughs. And people will be like, what's that? And you're like, oh, it's pretty elite.
No. You wouldn't hear about it.
The Super Good Law Center for Law.
Do law people do residencies?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
I thought of it as like an artist residency kind of thing.
Oh. I was thinking of cow doctors.
Cow doctors?
We're all on different pages.
Yeah. I don't know if law people do like...
The world is vast.
Okay, so the woman looks at her for a while and then says, well, okay.
You do you, I guess.
But at least take a reward for all your hard work. Go to the loft above, and there you will find many caskets. Choose your favorite casket, but don't open it until you set it in the place where you wish it to remain forever, because once you put it down and open it, it will not move again.
So what's in it?
The girl left to go to the loft, and she found all the cats waiting for her there. They walked in a procession and told her to take the black casket. She can't find one. The cats keep shouting, take the black casket.
This is a horror film.
So she keep, yeah, it's just a lot of these stories, if you actually presented them in an audiovisual fashion, which is pretty horrific. So she searched until she found a small black box. She shows it to the mistress, who smiles and nods and bids her to go her way.
Oh, that puppy.
She found what?
A small black box.
Is that where Malaysia 737 went? whatever that flight was. Malaysia 390. What was that flight?
In a Swedish well.
Yeah. That's the one CNN was looking for like a year and a half.
Found the black box.
All right, so she leaves and walks on till she reaches the flowery meadow. And there something happened, and she found herself sitting on the wall of the well in her stepmother's yard.
Something happened.
Yep. A mysterious something.
Now it's a Lovecraft story.
Puberty.
Happened. Very suddenly. And it launched her out of the well.
This is borderline Lovecraft. Minus the puberty. He wasn't big on teen issues, Lovecraft. Not a lot about, like...
We need to start a YA series called HP Teencraft.
That'd be very good. That'd be very good. Yeah.
Where squid people teach you about puberty.
That'd be pretty good. I was thinking just like young adult novels. Like really trashy ones, but written in Lovecraft style.
Or like Twilight, but you have to choose between Cthulhu and some other horrible creature as your boyfriend.
Cthulhu just treats me so right. I know he's an elder quarter horror, but it's different with me.
But Yog-Sothoth is just so sexy.
Look at him without his shirt on.
Look at Shub-Niggurath over there.
They all want to protect me, even though I'm so boring and so plain and so clumsy.
They're going to play baseball outside for me. That was a real scene in Twilight. Twilight the movie. The vampire baseball scene. Yeah, shelve that one. It's a good idea. Animate that.
Sure.
Be a good animated short.
How many of the things that you just listed have unknowable forms, though?
Oh, I mean that's kind of Lovecraft's bag.
Sort of hard to depict visually.
That's why we haven't gotten a good Lovecraft movie yet.
Just have their shape shifting all the time.
Yeah, there are ways around this.
Sure.
Like, Cthulhu, we have a pretty set face on.
Yeah. Got him nailed down.
You really just need the one other to be the Jacob to the Edward situation.
And really, they just need a bunch of tentacles.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's the defining characteristic.
This one is sourced from Andrew Lung's World of Fairy Tales.
Be a good theme park.
Would it, though?
Why wouldn't it?
What rides that we have read about would you go on?
The one where you're kidnapped by fairies?
The one where you're in a stampede of pigs and stabbed a bunch of times by a porcupine?
Yeah, that'd be a good one. The one where an evil fairy overhears you talking to yourself and decides to meddle in your business and curse you for your whole life.
What about the one where a fairy turns you into a plant for a bit?
That's a good one.
There would be a lot of escape rooms, I think.
It's mostly an escape room park.
It's not a bad idea. Escape rooms are fun. Why not an escape complex?
Right. You escape one room into another room that you have to escape from.
Yeah, then it's...
It's Cube.
I was going to say, I think they made a movie about that, and it didn't go so well.
In an hour or so, there were so many fairies surrounding the cradle that the child seemed in danger of being smothered.
This is one of those danger scenarios you need to learn to recognize.
Yeah, they need to put this alongside the flying a kite near power lines and strangers in vans lessons.
Is this a reliable narrator?
What brings the reliability to question?
Well, my real question that I'm driving at is, are we sure that this boy wasn't just covered in bees? And the Mad King was like, fairies, fairies!
Come bless my child with pollen and stings.
You think we're reading a William Faulkner fairy tale.
Right.
I'd read that book. He's dead, right? For like a long time.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Death by bee sting.
William Faulkner, if you are not dead, please send us an email. Thank you.
If you're somehow still kicking it, I think we have some ideas.
The king watched the fairies eagerly and was disturbed to see them looking pretty grave. So the king's disturbed to see the fairies looking so gravely at his son and asks anxiously if there's anything wrong with him. The fairies all say, oh, it's a great pity, but...
He's not breathing anymore. Whoopso.
Maleficent sat on him accidentally. She's real sorry. She could turn into a dragon if you want.
That would make you feel better.
It's like a puppet show for kings. it's a great pity, but what is to happen will happen. It is written in the Book of Fate, which we fairies just apparently like read.
And memorize.
By staring at a child.
It's an Egyptian thing, right?
I think so.
Within their mythology. I think the Book of Fate is
legit.
Pre-existing.
Well, fairies have...
access.
Yeah. On tap.
They have pocket editions.
They have whatever the ancient Egyptian, what is it, WorldCat or LexisNexis is for ancient Egyptian law.
But they also are wearing Google Glass so that they can stare at this child and just like cross-reference him.
Analyze.
Yeah. Okay, so it's written in the Book of Fate that he must die either by crocodile, serpent, or dog. If we could save him, we would, but it's beyond our power, and then they vanished.
Yeah, but when, though?
I don't know.
Everybody dies. Maybe it's okay.
If it's, like, age 100, and you go out, like,
fighting a crocodile.
Having a real good time with a crocodile.
Beating him with a dog. while wearing a snake as a boa.
Quick pause.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you think it's going to be? And which one would you want to happen to you if you had to choose?
Same answer for both, crocodile.
Okay. What's your reasoning?
Because then I could pretend to be a pirate.
Because of Captain Hook?
Yeah, that guy.
Well, for how long? Because you are dying.
In my death throes. Exactly the amount of time that I need.
You could imagine for a moment that you're a pirate.
I'm on the high seas.
Stuffing clocks into crocodiles.
Second pause. Before either of you answer that question. What's up with that book that they're not sure?
The Book of Fate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You think it'd be a little bit more specific if it was fated.
Like snake and crocodile? I guess I see how you could confuse them, maybe.
Dog,
but
maybe
you're
going to
throw dog in there just for funsies?
Well, if the Book of Fate was written in hieroglyphs and whoever was writing that particular section was like an intern who didn't have the good drawing skills yet.
That's a clerical error.
That's a great point.
Like, well, this, I mean, this looks really snake-like, but it's got legs and also ears.
You've brought up an interesting kind of esoteric question, which is that if an intern miscopied something from the master copy into the official Book of Fate, is that then their fate? Even if it wasn't the original intent.
Was that preordained?
Yeah, was that fated?
Right.
Or was it not? And has that already been written in the Book of Fate earlier?
If an intern accidentally spills their coffee on a page of the Book of Fate, does that just obscure everything?
Is that dyslexia for hieroglyphs?
Spilled coffee?
No. Oh. Like, this could be a dog or it could be a crocodile. I'm not sure what he was trying to draw.
Maybe we just get brief spurts of free will. Where there are coffee stains, and that means to like just freestyle it until until the pages pick back up again.
But which would you guys choose, given those three options?
I'm leaning toward, it depends what kind of snake, first of all. If it can be one of the big squeezy snakes, I think I might go for that, because that is dying via hug, which I think is about as positive a murder experience as you're going to get. I don't know which one. My first reaction was crocodile, for which one I think it's going to be. I can't back it up. It's just instinct.
Just a gut feeling.
Yeah.
It's one that we share.
I can't weigh in on that part.
Because you know.
Well, I did at one point.
Right.
I've forgotten, but...
It's spoilers.
Right. Potentially, because I did forget. I like Gordy's hug analysis of the snake one, though. I was going to go dog, because I thought it would be pretty cheerful death or just an exciting one. Dogs move a lot faster than crocodiles, so I don't know. You get better action music for that end sequence of your life. But I do like the idea of being hugged to death, because I'm a big fan of hugs.
Listeners, this presents an interesting analysis of your three hosts, I think. Because Gordy wants to feel loved in his time of passing. I want to pretend that I lived a more exciting life. And Carmen wants a sonically pleasing experience with cool music.
I do love music a lot, but I am on the fence about it because hugs also seem pretty good.
Right.
One day, when he got old enough to run fast by himself, he looked from the terrace across the moat and saw a little soft, fluffy ball of dog jumping and playing on the other side.
Uh-oh. We might have been wrong.
He's never seen a dog before, so he asked a page what that creature is, and the page says,
"Illegal.
It's a dog." And the friend says, "Well, bring me one just like it, and we will see which of us can run faster."
The page was not briefed on this mission. I imagine that there's a reason he's never seen a dog.
Right.
And it's to keep him away from dogs, and snakes, and crocodiles. He's got a gap of 3 animals in his bestiary.
Right, they never gave him those stuffed animals. D was for...
Dingo.
Well, that's also a dog.
It's kind of a dog.
Because it was also my first thought. Dirigibles wouldn't have existed.
Deltoids.
Dank Kush.
None of these are animals.
It has to be animals?
Yeah, like you learn your ABCs with like cute animals.
I'm going to Google animals that start with D. Good. I can't think of any more.
I can't. D is for dog is so ingrained in our understanding.
I don't think there are any more, right?
Dolphin.
I was going to say, are there any of those in the moat?
Dartfish, dassy rat, death adder, deer. D is
for death adder.
Deer mouse. A dibbler, whatever that is. Hey, what's a D-hole? I'm probably pronouncing this wrong.
A dole?
Yeah, a D-hole.
A D-hole.
Is it like a worm?
No, I think it's a kind of dog.
Duck? So. Donkey?
Yeah, it's a...
Jeez.
It's a South American wild dog. A dole.
Oh.
So again, a dog.
So yeah. Not a worm.
No.
I think that...
Not today.
I think... Lovecraft lied to me.
Hey guys, I'm ashamed of all of us. We couldn't think of duck or donkey.
Or deer. Or dolphin. You got dolphin after
We did
a minute,
get dolphin.
But
after straining our brains.
I mean, how many animals? All right, you know what? Maybe we gotta revisit some more species.
There's too many.
This is what I'm talking about. It's too complicated. There's too many.
Why do you need D-hole and dingo to say dog?
And dog. Or deer and dog.
Right.
They both have 4 legs and fur.
And run fast.
Okay, so...
They're jumpy.
So new excitable. Proposition. There are only 26 animals. 1 for each letter. And that way kids can still learn their ABCs.
I am on board.
Yeah. We'll fill this out as we go. D, are we saying D is dog?
Yeah, all things are dogs.
Yeah.
Can we erase dog and go with D-hole for everything?
D-hole is fine.
I'm going to give up on any thought of ever trying to get you guys to pronounce dole.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
They should have spelled it better. I mean, they knew, right?
How could they spell it better? They spelled it the best.
I've seen doles and the word dole written out before. Never in my life did I think of D-hole.
Really?
Yeah.
Never once?
If they didn't want people to say D-hole, they should have spelled it different. That's all I'm saying.
Apparently so.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.